This is Bill Teeple with Alan Cobb and Donna Colby, and this is Icon Art Radio. Our guest today is David Kupferman, whose exhibit is on view right now at the Teeple Hansen Gallery, which is upstairs above 21st Century Books, where you enter by 21st Century Books on Broadway, 108 West Broadway, suite number 208. And he's just come to town, and that's why we're so fortunate to have him on the radio so he can talk about his work and his life as an artist. He's from Boston. He's a highly respected artist on the East Coast, where he's had numerous exhibitions and is in museum collections and corporate collections. And you've been doing this for 30 years or so, is that right?
Oh, at least, yeah. I have a little photograph of myself as a child, as an infant, like 1 year old, painting with a paintbrush against this blank canvas. Because my parents were both well-known artists. My father was an abstract expressionist, Lawrence Kupferman, and my mother, Ruth Cobb, was a wonderful watercolorist who did room interiors and stuff like that. So I've been painting all my life, basically.
Yeah, lucky you.
I had to find it.
Yeah, right.
A wasteland.
The dream parents that all of us wish we had.
Right. You had discussed in the previous broadcast that you just had about when you decide to be an artist, and I always decided from a very early age that I wanted to be an artist and follow in my father's footsteps and my mother's footsteps.
So did he provide you with quality materials and stuff
when
you were very young?
Yeah.
And you were painting on canvases and
If you could indulge me, I would just like to read you this little statement that I made from my last show that I had at the Judy Rotenberg Gallery a year ago in Boston, because it pretty much explains a lot of stuff, and then you can go on from there.
We like a starting point.
Great. Okay, so it was called the Insight Outside Show. The Insight Outside series of paintings are about the process of perception and the enigma and mystery of existence being internal and external simultaneously. They are about the flow of light and consciousness from the inner field of transcendental being to the outer field of light in the sky and the sea reflecting that inner radiance. It is the union of the observer, the process of seeing, and the object of perception. It is a conversation or movement from the inside to the outside and back again. In quantum physics, they call it the unified field, pure energy that underlies all creation. It says that we and the universe are one in the same field of energy and consciousness, which is the ground of all being. Quantum physics says that all reality exists simultaneously, all time and space exists right now. When I paint, I am totally immersed in the process, in the oneness and the immediacy of the moment. And it is this that pulse of infinite flow which the paintings are about, the absolute splendor of nature which permeates us both internally and externally. The ocean and sky are good metaphors of that, where one wave flows into the next without any boundaries and where the sky merges with the sea with an endless horizon. When you're on Cape Cod, where I have had a summer studio for many years, you are pervaded by nature and light, and it infiltrates its way into my paintings. I often feel like a child with a pail at the beach trying to scoop up the sea and its reflections. I paint simultaneously with a combination of colors, combination of order and chaos, improvisation and intuition, structure and unboundedness that creates its own aesthetic dynamic. And as I layer the paint in bands of color, that they modify each other to create visual chords of vibration. When it is dry, I often draw in linear geometric shapes that pull the picture plane back and forth and create a spatial relationship with that reverberating fields of color. This builds a counterpointal balance between space and luminosity. The geometric shapes also act as windows or doors that take you into other dimensions, creating interior spaces within the exterior vistas. Many of my recent paintings deal more directly with waves, ocean waves, and light waves, the integration, rhythm, and balance of these two basic forces of nature. I enjoy the sensual elements of the paint and color. I apply the paint fluidly with brushes and then sometimes move them with squeegees or scrapers, which creates both geometric shapes and atmospheric ghosts of the underpainting. And of course, my secret ingredient is that I play improvisational jazz or improvisational classical music, Gandharva Veda music, in the background while I paint. They are based on variations of simple chord progressions or melodies that create atmospheric waves of sound vibrations, the pulse of nature. This keeps the spirit moving and the paint flowing likewise. My paintings are variations and improvisations on basic compositions and color chords. They are meditations on the ever-changing frequencies, eternal movement, and cycles of nature, the breath of life. And I just want to say that I act as a sort of an extra musician, a visual musician in these groups, in these improvisational groups, where I perform along with them, and my motion is...
Your paintings very much seem to be the product of a performance in the moment.
Right.
You moved out of, obviously, your father himself was an abstract expressionist,
yeah,
which was all about this type of approach to painting. You've brought in a more geometric element that you don't normally see in traditional abstract expressionism, but the paintings themselves seem to move out of that, be part of that tradition of a record of a moment in time of visual activity.
Right.
I think that immediacy to them.
Each painting has an integral existence of its own, and I try to let the paint take on its own life. I start with a blank canvas and then have these mixed colors and they're very fluid, and then I just start painting and one thing leads to another. I might have some general concept of color scheme, like a musician has a key of signature that he's playing in, and then I might have a general compositional idea, but then it just flows from there. Just things just happen.
What I noticed in looking at your paintings, too, is like, I think music is a wonderful analogy because there are certain areas of the painting where there are very distinct layers that make you want to kind of go in and see behind them and all that are sort of like rich chords. And then there are other areas of the painting where there's just like a sweeping movement that's, you know, like some bar of melody or something that takes you along. And that I found interesting. When looking at your paintings, you could actually take a journey through them, mm-hmm, starting at any point, and find these different sounds, actually,
right,
you know, coming.
And I just have to say, of course, my paintings are all about consciousness and wholeness. And, you know, I've been doing TM for 42 years, and so I started the same time the Beatles did in the summer of 67. So that... is the real subject matter of the painting, and then everybody, of course, interprets it differently based on their own personality.
And you're setting up a studio now?
Yeah, I have a studio that I set up in the Broadway building, and I've only done half a dozen paintings since I've been here because I had this show to set up, and I had to set up my household and all that sort of thing. You know. But I am a very prolific artist in general.
And do you feel like you've cut some strings with the past?
Is it
a new beginning for you? Where are you at with your work?
Well, my work is just starting to get painted, so I can't.
It seems like you were in the East, very established, and
everything,
and then suddly you're here.
Yeah, no,
it must seem a little bit like a break of some sort.
I cut a lot of ties, and in fact, my computer got fried when I got here and got wiped out. whole new life. Yeah, it's hard to say what direction that's going to take.
Well, that's kind of exciting.
It's
launching into the unknown.
More expansive and more unbounded, whatever that means in terms of the art. You know, different people say different things. And earlier you mentioned something about Rothko in the last show. I just wanted to say that when I was a child, Rothko came to my father's house, to my house, to the studio, and as did Gottlieb and Basiotis and Jackson Pollock and all these people. So I was surrounded by all the leading abstract expressionists. This was in the late 40s and early 50s in Provincetown, Mass.
So Cape Cod. I actually, whenever we interview an artist, I'm actually really interested in your whole story. I mean, you gave us a little tantalizing taste about being born to parents who are artists, but how did that manifest? You know, you had this picture of you when you were 1 year old with a brush. Did you keep on through your whole childhood doing art, and how did that go?
I did. And it was just, there was some breaks. At one point I decided I wanted to make movies instead, and I went off to Hollywood, actually, and I was going to try to get in, and I was in underground filmmaking and stuff like that. But I found that ultimately movie making is too complicated and requires too many people and too much money and too much time, and that a painting, the beautiful thing about it is the whole thing is right in front of you. You know, when you think about a movie, you have to think about the past scene and the future scene, and there's no way to see the whole thing right in front of you. Whereas a canvas, the whole thing is right there, top, bottom, right, left, beginning and end.
It's more of an individual thing, too. I mean, movie making, any kind of production, is a team effort.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like the...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So did you formally study painting at all, or did you just go for it?
Not really. I studied with my father, who taught, he was a professor at the Mass College of Art in Boston, mm-hmm. and my mother, who was a wonderful painter, and I was an apprentice to Mirko, who is a famous sculptor at Harvard, who has a wonderful piece at the outside the Granite Museum of Art in Urbana-Champaign-Urbana. And they just got four of my pieces for their collection, which was very nice. And I went to see the museum, and I was surprised. I said, wow, there's a giant Mirko. I might have helped work on that, you know.
So your education was more the traditional artist's education at the side of your father and apprenticing.
Right.
It's a, nowadays, if people go to these art schools and get these MFAs, and it's sort of like a machine that turns out master artists, supposedly.
Right, and then, of course, I
like the old ways quite a bit.
I spent a lot of time in the museums. Right. The Boston Museum of Fine Arts is a wonderful collection, and the Fogg Museum and other museums in the Boston area. But my chief degree is that I have a Bachelor's of the Science of Creative Intelligence from Meru in Switzerland. Which is all based on consciousness.
Now, I recognize a particular style that you've done for as long as I've known of your work, which is, goes way back. Did you pass through a certain types? Did you experiment with different styles of art? Because this is an extension of your father's work in a way. I mean, abstract expressionism. Well, I'm not certain that I've seen your father's work. Now you got me curious to look him up.
Oh, I have a catalog. I didn't bring it with me. But
did you study, did you do some realistic drawing at some point and all that stuff?
Life drawing and landscape painting and stuff like that. But it was interesting because I was doing these kind of poured paintings that were relating to the color field painters that my father was part of that scene at the time. And somebody mentioned to me that, oh, gee, if you could just draw a straight line, call it a horizon, then you could get into a whole new realm of seascapes. And I said, yeah. And then I started doing this whole series of seascape paintings. And then sometime later on, I got a little bored with them, and I started adding abstract geometric shapes and colors onto parts of the painting. I'd leave the sky and paint the bottom and stuff like that. And so now a lot of my painting is a combination of those two things.
Well, yeah, I enjoy the play of the abstract and the realism, because there's references to sky and sea and all of this, and the dialogue between the sweeping shapes and the geometric shapes. It's really nice.
I was just going to say, sometimes I just do seascapes that don't have the abstract quality. I mean, they're expressionistic seascapes, and then other times I'll do the same seascape and then I'll squeegee through and make geometric shapes in them.
Because that to me is the inner and outer that you were referring to in the statement that you read,
sure,
that there's some references to something we could connect with the external world that we see with our senses. And then I love geometric patterning myself in whatever form it takes in art, because that goes back to the kind of definable inner world that physics describes and mathematics describes and all of that. But then there's that other layer of your own conscious experience that's very much in your paintings as well. So it's sort of like there's two layers of inner and the one layer of outer that all seems to be interacting with each other in your paintings.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
and people are, you know, it's so weird to do a radio show and talk about paintings.
Right, I was going to say, because you can't see them.
Yeah, it would be nice to know what we're talking about, to see what we're talking about.
Right.
So let me just mention to everyone before we forget, before the show gets over, and that's that you can see the work at the Teeple Hansen Gallery, 108 West Broadway. And and it's open Fridays and Saturdays 1 to 4, or by appointment. You can just call, I don't know what Marcia's number is. You can call me at 641-919-6252, and I'll get you in to see this exhibit.
And we've been talking, in case you tuned in after we introduced our guest, it's David Kupferman, who recently moved to Fairfield from Boston and is the painter who's been describing his work to us.
I just want, because something you said made me think of this other statement I had in this museum catalog from the Danforth Museum of Art in Framingham, Mass. It says, this is called the Sea Light Series. The Sea Light Series works on many levels simultaneously. It's both visual and conceptual, intuitive and intellectual. It deals with silence and activity. It is concerned with space and form, light and color. It blurs the boundaries between landscape and abstracts. It is informed by both Eastern and Western aesthetic philosophy and integrates the two. Mm. Yeah, and so they are very much influenced by Indian art, some of them, in the forms and the structures. You think of Indian Ragamala painting with these little houses with Krishna and the gopis and stuff coming in and out. So some of the shapes are related to that, and into Chinese and Japanese art in terms of the fluidity and then of course abstract expressionism. But I have to say that I am a combination or an accumulation of all of art history. I mean, having been exposed to it,
This is reminiscent of what we discussed in the last show.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So I take from everybody. Some of the people that I've been very inspired by in the West are like Rembrandt and the Dutch landscape painters, and El Greco and some of those great Italian, Tiepolo, the people who paint these wonderful angels and skies, and of course all the French painters, Matisse and Picasso, Spanish, French, and Miro. Oh, I wanted to say an interesting thing about Miro. excuse me one second. I was in Mallorca with Marcian
teach a training course in 1971, and I happen to have a little book of Miró's paintings with me. And Miró spent time in Mallorca. He grew up in Barcelona and Mallorca. And I could see the paintings and look at around in the environment and say, oh, this is what they're all about. I never knew. All these funny figures, and they related to the cactus plants, you know, the cacti all over, and the rocks, these funny moon-like rock formations in the ocean. And it just made it so alive. And the same with El Greco. I could look at the skies there and say, oh, yes, this is an El Greco sky like that.
That's wonderful. I mean, that's really a beautiful example of what we were talking about in the last show, about how important it is to have these dialogues and right. you know, all these interactions with great artists right. from everywhere, sure. you know, from all traditions, because you do, a part of you awakens.
Right, and then another thought came to mind is that when I'd see a show, like I'd see a Van Gogh show at the Boston Museum or something, I would come out and I'd see everything in terms of that.
Yeah, right.
This is just what we were talking about in the last show.
And everybody looked like a Van Gogh.
And then you just said that you're a compilation of all of these artists. That
right.
And which is really literally the truth.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And then, but it comes out, your expressions are uniquely you, mm-hmm. but you're built out, or that point in time that's moving the brush right now, and that's David Cooperman. But it's a collection of all the experiences you've had.
And that's why the phrase coming through us, you know, the creative impulse coming through us is a good expression, because we do take in, we gather in every experience that we have in life, and then if we're engaged in any kind of creative process, it's coming through our individual consciousness, this bigger consciousness coming through our individual consciousness and expressing itself in all these wonderful ways.
Yeah, I think it was Bob Dylan who said something about the songs are just out there floating in the air, and I just write them down. Yeah, which is what basically the Vedas are, you know, done like that.
When you are in your studio painting, is it possible for you to describe to us what your experience, I mean, you said a little bit before about how you play music and your arm is sort of like but your own inner experience as the strokes are coming out onto the canvas. Is there anything you could say about that?
Well, I'm very much absorbed in the immediacy of the paint and in the moment. And so I'm not thinking in terms of, you know, it's like saying, well, what do you experience when you transcend? Well, when you transcend, you're transcendent. So it's like, it's hard to say, you know, just absorbed completely in doing it.
Does it just all flow evenly, or do you throw some away, or do you feel like you're solving problems and you're running into obstacles, or is it just more of a free-flowing?
It's sort of free-flowing, and then I go back the next day or the next 2 days and add things and, you know, paint over them. Sometimes I'll take old paintings that happen to be lying around, I'll just start touching them up, you know, changing them, because I go, say, oh, I don't like that anymore, I'll change this section, I'll change that section. And then the lines that I have in my painting are always done after the fact, when it's dry, with a grease pencil, a China marker sort of thing. And I discovered that they have these wonderful colored oil markers here in Fairfield that they use for livestock markers, and it's made by the same company that makes them in art supply stores, but for half the price. That's a great discovery. Yeah.
I hadn't found that yet.
Yeah. So when you approach the canvas, do you just make a mark and go, or do you have some vision that you're working toward when you're...
I just sort of make a mark and go, yeah. I mean, I, as I said earlier, I might have some vague idea of a color scheme, or I have all these colors mixed, but then it's like a piano where you have, you know, all those eight keys or whatever it is, and they're all there to play up on, but you decide, well, I'm going to play in this key. And, mm-hmm. But then sometimes, I also used to improvise with jazz with a 12-tone group of professional musicians in Boston, and it was quite fun. So I sometimes play out of key, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Using the entire, and sometimes the insides of the piano and the strings and so on like that.
Interesting. So are you sometimes really surprised at where it goes in the end, once you start?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's the exciting thing, is that each painting is a new event. You know, it's a little yagya, it's a little performance, a celebration of life like that.
That's great. I think that's a really important aspect of the creative process, that it's a celebration of life. It's a connection
right.
between the artist and all of life.
So it happens in a discrete amount of time. It's not a... these go fairly quickly, don't they, your pieces?
Yeah, yeah. Somebody asked me, how long does it take? I go, 60 years. Yeah.
Everything's been building to
right.
this point, and then this point, and this point. But it feels, that type of painting, or when I look at your paintings, I get the vitality of a moment's expression, almost like a Zen painter would sit there, and then when the moment's right,
right.
it happens.
It just happens very quickly. And then, as I say, later I'll look at it, maybe I'll change a little something, but the basic... the constituent of the painting is done.
You can see that. In fact, that's a good description of, like, you know, when you watch a movie and you see a Zen calligrapher or something making a,
right.
a quick line. When I was looking at your paintings up in the gallery, that's what I would see, these brush strokes that were just that kind of a,
right.
you know, you can't do that in a deliberate way. It just has to flow from,
right.
the, yeah.
And I think I inherited a sense of color from my father. He was a great colorist, and... It just sort of comes naturally to me.
Do you think your work will take a new direction? Your life has changed. I wonder
yeah,
if your
I'm
work
sure,
is going to express
I'm sure
that change.
Yeah. yeah, I just can't say where that's going
to go. We will
go,
be watching.
But it'll be exciting to find out. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, we've been talking with David Kupferman.
Whose exhibit is on view at Teeple Hansen Gallery through May 30th. So... it's not going to be up for the next art walk.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.